Thank you for those kind words. Retirement is a state I've been striving for, I think, for the past 50 years. I've been in training for it. It's wonderful. I can recommend it. My task is to try and foreshadow the themes of the conference and start with the notion of organizational accidents, because all the domains represented here, I think, suffer organizational accidents. They also, of course, suffer individual accidents, but the two are somewhat unrelated. They have a common causal set, but I think they don't have the same kind of etiology. So I want to talk about, briefly, organizational accidents. Then I want to talk about the two faces of safety, and then, since there's a lot on safety culture coming up, a brief glimpse at safety culture, a brief look at something that we used some years ago, the railway, the proactive process measures on the railway, and finally some words about qualities, safety, and error management. So the characteristic, I think, three notions that go along with organizational accidents is defenses, which are crucial. They're almost the defining feature, to have multiple defenses, different kinds, serving different functions, but all of them, as you will know, are flawed in some degree. Every industry has its hazards, its dangers, and every industry has assets, people who are likely to be damaged and injured and lost. So these are the three notions that go up to make up this familiar picture, which I won't dwell upon, but only to say that I didn't invent the notion of Swiss cheese. I did invent the notion, I suspect, but not the name Swiss cheese, which has been a unique selling proposition. I think without that name, it wouldn't have traveled so far. I think it was Rob Lee in Australia who came up with it, maybe someone in Ottawa. Anyway, it wasn't me. But the thing about the holes, the flaws, is that some are short-lived and some are much longer-lived and much more important. The resident pathogens that are created by the designers, the builders, the operators, the managers, because they can't foresee all hazards. They can't foresee all scenarios of failure. So what implications does this have? It's really, when you investigate an incident or an accident, then the first question, I think, and really the most important question, is not who screwed up, but what defenses fail and how did they fail? And if you're able to talk about why they fail, but one is not always able, but often, but not always, there are some local unsafe acts, errors and violations. These have their origins in workplace conditions, in undermanning, in bad equipment, all those things that go on in a workplace to promote error. And then these, in turn, are often the product of top-level decisions. I used to think that these were latent failures, but of course, almost every decision that top management makes is going to have a downside for somebody somewhere at some time. And it's that they are not so much causes, I think, as conditions. They're universals. A condition is something like oxygen is to fire. It's not a cause, but it's a necessary condition. And I come round again almost full circle to looking at the fact that what distinguishes an organization that's had a bad event from one that hasn't is not the presence or absence of these latent pathogens, because the creepy crawlies are under all organizational stones. It's the proximal events, you know, the local triggers, and what happened on the spot. So it seems like full circle. I think it's quite important to think about safety as something. It's a bit like health. It's defined by its, you know, it's often defined by its absence. So you've got the numerous people love to put numbers, whereas I think actually the basic narrative of safety, the basic data of safety is narrative, which is much more subtle, can capture the interactions. But we have this negative face, which you can put numbers to. But there's also another side to safety, which is its intrinsic resistance to the slings and arrows of its operational fortunes. And one way of representing this, and forgive me for all those who have seen this before, is by a metaphor involving a sort of milled steel block with a, a ball bearing sitting on top, which represents the system. And the ball bearing is being perturbed by all the local factors that affect safety. And clearly, the top one is relatively a vulnerable, is a vulnerable system. It's easy to fall off. And the bottom one is actually more resilient. It will take a lot more punishment. But it can still, you know, the organization could still crash. This has an implication, I think, for thinking about what are the goals of safety management. You can put organizations along this elliptical, cigar-shaped space, the safety space, and most of them will be bunched in the middle, which is the sort of middle ground. But at some, at the either extremes, you've got people at one end who have the maximum degree of sustainable resistance within the operational conditions. And at the other end, we have people who are getting by the skin of their teeth because they're highly, highly vulnerable. And the thing is that the outcome measures do not necessarily reflect your position along this dimension. They give you some clues, but it's a very sort of loose correlation between where you are along that dimension and the kinds of adverse reactive outcome measures that you're looking at. But one thing about this picture is it shows you what is worth striving for. The target zone here, the point of maximum resistance and still stay in business and still maintain your business. And under, in most cases, there are currents running to and from either end. And if you do nothing, if you have no driver, if you like, there's no engine to the organization, then you're likely to drift up and down, so you drift towards the vulnerable end, a bad accident happens, you make a lot of investment. This is very much a railway story.